the love for teaching that I really caught wind of. And it's watching a student, I don't know what it is, but like watching a student, you teach them something and they're going through like lines of code. And then when you have them press run on a program and like that like aura of light that pops over them when it's like, I got it. And you know, the robot's moving or the program's running. It's intoxicating, like the joy you feel when a student gets that moment.
Welcome to Extend Women in Tech podcast. We are a tech community podcast highlighting stories of women in tech and inspiring everyone into tech. We aim to provide a platform for sharing experiences, insights, and success stories that inspire and empower others in this dynamic industry. I'm your host, Edita Refe.
And I'm Jonah Anderson, and we are the hosts of this podcast, Extend Women in Tech podcast. And we're so happy that you have picked this episode to listen to today, wherever you are listening it from right now. So in today's episode, we have Audrey Willis joining us from the States or USA. And just to give an introduction about who Audrey is. Audrey Willis is the CodeCrew co-founder and program director of CodeCrew. And she is a technologies inclusion advocate, an entrepreneur that has raised capital and scaled businesses, including CodeCrew, which is focused on creating diversity and inclusion in computing through education, workforce development, and advocacy in computer science. Audrey is not only a co-founder, but she serves as a program director for CodeCrew, Code School, and she has a passion for talent development and serves on the boards of CodeCrew. And it is the executive board member president at Light Memphis. The BBC has recognized Audrey globally during their 100 Women series, documenting her in Young, Geeky, and Black in Memphis, top 100. And nationally by Prudential Insurance, The State of Us, highlighting her entrepreneurial contribution to making Memphis one of the cities with highest rate of female business ownership. Welcome, Audrey. Thank you so much for choosing us to be the host of your story, and also for being here with us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure.
Yes. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. The sun hasn't actually come up yet, but it's a great day in Memphis. We just finished up graduation for the Code School yesterday. So it's been an exciting and exhausting past 2 days, but I am proud and I am full of excitement. We just graduated 19 software engineers into the industry. So you both understand how significant entering 19 people into the software industry is in our community. So I am still like beaming from excitement.
Yeah, I'm shivering right now hearing the 19 has graduated from CodeCrew, which is the program, Code School program that you have built. Let you share more about CodeCrew, just to introduce you a bit about my background. So I work as a developer, and one of the reasons that I started public speaking and sharing knowledge about development and what I do is I used to be teaching kids programming in schools, and I really take value in the importance of bringing inspiration and interest already in the younger age back in the schools, so they are exposed to that. So I'm a big fan, and I'm giving you a big kudos right now for hearing that 19 graduates in your code school. So tell us more about your story about it and how it all started.
So I actually came up through the ranks. I'm a self-taught developer. So back in the day when like MySpace was a thing, I was writing lines of code, working on my MySpace page, and I landed a job with this organization called Computer Science Corporation here in the States. And that was my first IT job and literally changed my life. So a lot of my priorities around the code school come from my personal experience of being a non-degree technologist and how to navigate those fields. So I had moved back to Memphis, which I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, here in the U.S. And about 2012, 2013, and met my co-founder, Meke Gwekwe. And we were volunteering together. And in 2015, he, myself, and our third co-founder, Patty O'Grady, established Code Crew. And we were simply focused on, back then in 2015, teaching middle school students how to program. And that summer, we actually started an accelerator program. We joined a tech startup, and we established a nonprofit and taught our first class May 4th of 2015. So it is known that May 4th, the International Nerd Day, you know, May the 4th be with you, is Code Crew's birthday. And so we specialize in computing, coding, computer science, teaching kids computational thinking. But in 2018, based on some experiences we had had with a student that had come through our youth programs, we lost him to a larger city because there were no tech boot camps in our area. And so in 2018, we started the Code School. And like I said, it's near and dear to my heart because as a non-degree technologist and navigating those pathways, it was really important that we had a piece of our organization that would complement something like that. And so we take students that sometimes have some experience and they just don't know how to land a career in tech, or a lot of little experience, and we teach them everything they need to know to be a software engineer when they graduate. And like I said, we've graduated our largest cohort today, which is 19 students. They had graduation ceremony with friends and close partners of Code Crew on Thursday night here. And yesterday was this amazing event where we pulled in so many of our partners in the community, folks that can hire, folks that can give them leads, and they presented some amazing projects, things that they have been working on, from AI to drone flying. They, you know, got to flex their programming skills in the showcase of sorts to our community.
Okay, yes, that's really amazing, like the impact already that your community or Code Crew school has already in your area. I'm curious about, like, since we're also focusing on you, also Audrey, the driver or the leader of this school and the founder of course, co-founder. How did it all started? Like the motivation, because it takes someone, a leader, to start something like this and results into something great. So how did it all started, like your interest to teach coding? I know you did mention that you're a self-taught developer, which mm-hmm. I assume that you yourself have worked as a developer once in your career, I assume?
I did.
Tell us more. Yes.
I was in the industry working for like 15 years. So I started out as an ETL. Well, I didn't start out as an ETL developer. I started out as a software engineer, and I would work for like I said, this company called CSC, and they would do government contracts like Medicare, well, U.S. government contracts, TSA, the TWIC program. And so it was a basic, simple jobs, and I would go in, and it was the most fascinating thing because it was like my first tech job, and I would help resolve tickets, different changes to the website. This was like right after 9/11. So this was when the government was really changing on the TSA and TWIC site. So I got to help out a lot on that. And then my next job, I got to work for an organization called Fannie Mae. My first boss, which I still talk to this day, I worked as a software engineer also. But when I moved back to Memphis, and I really didn't think when I moved back to Memphis that there were going to be a lot of tech jobs because I was staying in Dallas, Texas at the time. But when I moved back to Memphis, Tennessee, there were tons of tech jobs. And that was kind of like one of my first motivational moments because there were so many tech jobs. I chose between like two or three jobs at the time. And I was like, why is there, you know, such a large pool of tech jobs and not enough people to fill them? Like I said, that was my first motivational moment. But as a business analyst working at AutoZone, I got connected with the startup community over at Startco here in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was fascinated by the entrepreneurs that were there. So I caught the entrepreneur bug. I got an accelerator program and started my first startup, which was Kids 360. And I had the intentions of revolutionizing the emergency contact form. So if you have children, every time you go and take them to a daycare or after school program, you fill out this emergency contact form. Well, my thought was I was going to digitize the emergency contact form and have like the shareable app where parents could share between like the physician and the doctors and be able to update emergency contact information and also turn it off because you didn't know if suddenly you had a custody agreement or needed to like cut off somebody's access to your child. You could do it right there from the app. But like some startups, they don't necessarily, you know, pan out. So you fail fast. And I went back to work and I was still learning, but I was also excelling because I was taking that entrepreneurial spirit into the corporate workplace. But one thing I was starting to identify is that as I was moving up, there were fewer and fewer women. And there were also fewer and fewer people of color. And that was like another one of those motivational points. And I had been volunteering for this organization called Black Girls Code. And that's when I met my co-founders.
Yes.
It was just the love for teaching that I really caught wind of. And it's watching a student, I don't know what it is, but like watching a student, you teach them something and they're going through like lines of code. And then when you have them press run on a program and like that like aura of light that pops over them when it's like, I got it. And, you know, the robot's moving or the program's running. It's intoxicating, like the joy you feel when a student gets that moment. So I was hooked at that point. It was a couple of conversations that my co-founder had with some partners at the Grizzlies Foundation, and we had internally, and we were like, we're going to do this thing. And it's been an amazing journey ever since.
Oh, I love that. I'm just like looking on your website right now. It's this thing's gallery of like photos with students, like in the moment itself that you're being there. The word that you said, intoxicating, when you inspire those kids and they are also inspired to create and develop, I can truly relate to that. And it's what makes us have this difference. What you do actually makes a difference because the small impact of seed that you put into their minds or their inspiration, that will be something that they will bring out themselves later on in the future. So very impressive story that you have, and I'm really more curious about what you do. So yeah, thank you for sharing about your story, how you started Code Crew School.
Yeah, those are, the pictures you're looking at, I mean, it's just like so many fond memories. Of course, I was much skinnier then.
I see that,
friends and people that we've made along the way.
I love it.
One thing that's significant is like all those faces, a lot of those people are still involved with the organization. And we call this thing a technical pipeline because a lot of those kids have grown up, they've gone to college, and a lot of them have returned as volunteers. In actual programs, a lot of those volunteers are now employees of ours. So a lot of those adults are now working in the tech industry. So it is very exciting to look at those familiar faces, and you know, we know where they are. They're in computer science, and so we're happy.
Yeah, that's amazing. I see you did Hour of Code also. So someday, if you need someone like me or Chetty to like inspire, I do have a story to share and inspire. Knowledge to teach your students. So definitely after this podcast, we will connect because I'm curious to learn more. But yeah, Chetty, do you have any more to add on or to ask?
Yeah, when you brought up the website, like, oh, there are kids as well. Like, my first thinking was, okay, it's all for adults, but it's for like younger children as well. So that's very good. But continue, please.
But there's five areas of Code Crew that we focus on. It's the Code School. We have in-school elective programming, and that's for kids. We have an after-school program, summer camps for kids. We do exposure events where you drop in and you get exposed to different elements of computer science. But we also do teacher training. So I know we can't teach all the teachers, but through our policy and advocacy work at Code Crew, and Mecca was instrumental in some of the advocacy work, there's now a requirement for computer science in the state of Tennessee. So there's only four states in the U.S. that require computer science for graduation. And so Tennessee is now one of them. So we do lots of stuff over at Code Crew.
Yes, that's good. Those five states are like leading in the code industry of learning. Yes. Yeah.
Can you give us an overview of the school? Like, I've seen that you give full stack programming, front end. So an overview, and then the impact that you are making in the region in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah. So the Code School is this intense program where students are gathered with us Monday through Friday from 9 to 3 for about 7 or 8 months. And they learn everything they need to know to be full stack developers when they graduate. So on top of learning the JavaScript, React, Node, C#, .NET, Azure, SQL, all the programming languages, and there's more. They're also taught the entire SDLC process. We have students that come in and they learn some things, and they want to be front-end developers or they want to be back-end developers. But when they leave our program, they're fully equipped to do both. But we do teach them everything they need to know as a project starts and as a project ends. We also, this year, did something different. And so as they would graduate, they would have a project. They would build a game, build a website, all to be presented out at the end of the session. But this year, we wanted to do something different and bridge a gap with small businesses and other startups. I think it's a statistic that's over 25% of the reason why a lot of businesses and startups fail is because of a lack of technology support. And so as a graduation requirement this year, the students had to partner with a startup or a local small business and actually provide technical support for them. So at graduation yesterday, the students built websites with payment and service and opportunities to book services. They built websites where there were databases on the back end, so these entrepreneurs could keep count of inventory in their stock. They built some drone applications that were ADA compliant for to be able to use without the controller and use with a handheld glove. And the students, I had another student build a learning platform where it was a programming sandbox that had an AI component. So out of the 25 programming languages that were built into it, if take for instance, you didn't know what line of code could pull up a table in SQL, you could ask the chat function, the AI chat function, and it would tell you right there. So the students are doing amazing things, and they're also very cognizant of the business needs of our community. So we like to keep them engaged with different entrepreneurs, different individuals in the tech industry. I mean, I would love to have you both come and do a career talk when the next cohort starts, because I tell the students, sometimes you don't know where exactly you want to work in tech, but talking to different people that are in the industry, sometimes you find out where you don't want to work because a tech shop that's government is completely different from a tech shop that's a startup company or a higher paced company. Or you may find out that you actually do like the luxury of time and working for yourself as a freelancer. So they get to get all these stories from different technologists in the community. And we have what we call like the technology pipeline. So these folks get to pour back into the industry and get to tell our students all about their experiences in the industry. And so we have students that graduate our program and they work for different organizations, large ones too. We've had some students at like one of our largest major hospitals, which is Regional One, International Paper, Backers is another organization, Chase Bank, Google. They're just all over the place and they're thriving in their careers. And like I said, I am so proud of all the work that they do. But each classroom, the graduates typically graduate earning about $55,000 a year. And so, you know, through our local organizations and local government, they donate. And so the more donations we get in, the more students we can get in the program and graduate it into making contributors to the community.
Right. Yes, that's amazing, the impact that you have for this, actually. I really like what you said, Audrey, when you gave the opportunity also to students to meet technologies or developers, those that are really in the real world arena, and give them this like inspiration and perspective from these technologies or developers, how it is really like working as one in the real world. It's because, as you said, there are a lot of things to learn in technology. And let's just say programming itself has too much to learn or has a lot of options. But if you have someone or several people with different stories and career roles, that will, as you said, it will definitely inspire them and give them the self-evaluation and reflection if that was something that they want to do or not. So it's more about, it reminds me of mentorship. So mentorship is really important in guiding these students that are still starting up in their career, because technology has so much to offer for us these days. And you need to follow a technology career that also aligns with your passion. Because if you do that, then it means that it will be more fun and it will be more like impactful to yourself and to others.
Yeah.
I would like to add to that one that you, the one thing that you said I really like is not only they learn, but also they know things that they want to work in their career as well. That's true, meaning that people won't understand unless they are into it or in the industry having some experience. So I really like that one too.
Yes, that's right. I have also one thing to add. When I was teaching kids some programming as well, locally in my area, Audrey and Shetty, one of the things that, of course, learn by doing is good. So hands-on, theory, hands-on, that combination. And one of the things that I added when my style of teaching as well is to allow them and teach them to collaborate at the same time. Dare get up in front of the other students in the class and present how they solve the problems, like presentation of problem solving. And that reminded me of what you said, Audrey, that some of your students have become mentors or teachers as well, helping out as like one of your like employees working for the code crew. So that's a good example to pay it forward, because they themselves have been in that shoes and they're keeping it, like forwarding it to everyone. So that's really great.
Yeah, we call it around the office, reach as you climb.
What do you call it?
Reach back as you climb.
Yeah, reach back as you climb. Yes. Yeah, there's a quote also that I really like. I share it sometimes when I do inspirational tech talk. There's this, we rise by lifting others. So the more we lift and help others, we also rise ourselves, because as a teacher, you learn as well. So I really like that. Yes. So why do you think diversity, inclusion, and equality in tech industry is so crucial and important today?
So it's important. So I'm going to answer that with a story. When I was in the industry, my thought of, we started Code Crew in 2015, but I was still technically working in the industry. And my thought in starting Code Crew and being adjacent as a board member was that I was still in leadership in the tech industry. And I thought that staying in leadership showed the industry that, you know, I was just as capable as anybody else, and that I could continuously hold the door open for more people that look like me to be in tech spaces, because you can't be what you cannot see. So I thought in my little heart of hearts that would get more people into the tech industry. But what I found was I was only creating opportunities for maybe like one or two people to get hired a year. And, you know, in the tech industry, things go up and down. You may start a project and need to hire 15 people. And then the next month, the project loses a budget, and then you can't hire anybody. So I think I had some revelation with myself, and I said, I could be on the front lines of my own organization and build more people that look like me to fuel the pipeline of those tech jobs. And that would be a bigger return on my personal investment than just standing here and holding the door open for one or two people. And so that's the reason why I feel like Code Crew, Code School plays such a crucial space in tech workforce development, is that we're ensuring diversity by also ensuring the quality of software engineers that go into the industry. You can't get a product for everyone without considering everyone's feelings, emotions, how they use a product, how they interact with the product. Because, you know, there's some products, you know, that they're built out of constructs of men. I think of like Victoria's Secret and their marketing and branding. For years and years and years, most of their marketing and branding were led by men, and they marketed to men. And somewhere along the lines, they forgot about comfort. They forgot about support. They forgot about the things that women needed in apparel. And their brand started to decline. But now all of a sudden, since other brands found the opportunity to engage women on products and apparel that they needed, they completely rebranded. So if you look at an organization like Victoria's Secret, I'll say like 94, 95, it was very sensual. It was very geared towards like what appealed to a man. If you look at it now, it is screaming comfort and all these things that appeal to women. Well, that's your target market. And without the diversity in knowing what really appeals to a woman, they would never be where they are, or they would have never made the pivot that they made. And so it's the same thing with tech and having people of color in the tech industry. And another reason why it's important as far as equity and inclusion is because we have a poverty issue in the United States. We have an education issue in the United States. How do we solve that? Well, we need to train people for high wage tech jobs. That helps change generational poverty here in the States. It changes the complete trajectory of some of these students' lives. They go through our education from being absorbers of technology to contributors of technology. We're building AI that's not inclusive, that's not understanding the needs of the community. And so we have to have women and people of color at the table when we're talking these future talks, future discussions about technology, so that they're contributing to the conversation. So we're not building machines and robots that are going to affect us adversely. We're building the systems that are going to contribute and create equality for all of us. That's what tech and democracy looks like here.
Yeah, I can relate to that story that you said. You cannot aspire to be something that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that me and I think Jonah also agree with. Because yes. That's one of the reasons of this podcast. Me coming from Africa, from Ethiopia, I haven't seen living in another country. I haven't seen anyone who's in this woman in this industry. So you always think of, oh, these are all the only opportunities in this country that I can be. But when you share these kind of stories, it will inspire others as well. So I just want to emphasize that one.
Yeah, growing up, no one in my family was in IT directly. I had a relative that got married, and his wife, she's an engineer. But in my immediate family, nobody was working in IT. So to this day, I have to do a lot of explaining when my mother asked me, what is it that you do for a living? so it is always an explanation, but you know, they're proud of me nonetheless, but it is always an explanation of what it is that I do, because there are not a lot of technologists that look like me. And like still to this day, a lot of times I enter tech spaces and rooms and I look around and I'm the only woman, or I'm the only person of color. And, you know, my job is, and my legacy is, to stop making myself be the only person in the room.
I like that.
Yes, I really like that. And that's the same motivation that led me and Shetty collaborate together on this podcast to highlight stories like yours, so that they will also come up in the public and share their own stories to inspire. So it's like there's a pay it forward effect. And the more they see what the inspiration from what you do and others have done in their careers, and they succeeded, the more it will inspire others. And our podcast that we have, we're very spontaneous. Like, we're very honest and transparent about the challenges, the pros and cons as well, to highlight also to the listeners and even beginners or upcoming technologies that, hey, technology is built by us, human beings are people, and it's okay that you have these challenges and ups and downs in choosing your path. The good thing is that we're helping together and we're inspiring together and rise up together. So I believe it's a win-win for everyone if we continue following our passion in this arena of creating diverse tech space for everyone.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that one too. Always we talk about the success story, but it's also not easy to be in the tech industry. You always have to get up to date. You have to read a lot. Maybe you have to sacrifice extra work hours. So yeah, do you want to add to this one? Like, you have any experience or examples from your school?
Oh yeah. Like I said, I didn't go to university. So I was always, you know, staying late, asking questions, reading some book, trying to get an additional certification here and there. And so even to this day, I'm, you know, still always reading, still always learning. I think that's one of the good traits of a good technologist, is to always be learning, is to always be growing, to always be curious and asking questions. And I think growing up, a lot of us, there was like a bad connotation, at least in the US, as like culture-wise, of being curious. It's like, you ask too many questions, you're always talking. But if you think about it, the most curious and the most talkative people are the biggest learners, because they're always engaged in a conversation. They're always engaged in, so what is next? How do I do this? What is your perspective on things? And I think the staying curious is what makes us successful, is because I'm always wondering, like, what is next? What is the next adventure? Who's the next person I can meet? Who's the next person I can engage with? And I mean, the internet makes it so easy for us to engage with different types of people, like how we found each other. I mean, there's no way possible that without contributions of technology, we could have just randomly found each other online. But that technology brings us closer together. And so we can stay in a state of curiosity, because now not only do you get to learn my story, but I get to learn your story, and I get to share your podcast with my friends that are here. So it is absolutely the most beautiful thing that I love about technology, is it's always changing. Nothing stays the same, and nothing against career choices like literature or history, but you don't get much change in those spaces. Yes. And I can sleep today and wake up tomorrow and the technology is going to be different.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I do kind of relate to the what you said, that it keeps changing. Technology keeps on changing and it evolves along with time. And what's the fun part? I mean, the interesting thing, why I love what I do as a developer, I've been in a different roles. I worked as a travel consultant, different kind of consultants. But working in the technology field actually helped me a lot, not just the technical aspects of it, like learning a lot of things that I can choose to navigate depending on the technology and the career I want to go to. And then if, for example, someday, if I get tired being a developer, I do have option to navigate farther into being a tech lead or developer lead. So these opportunities, as time grows along with technology evolves, it kind of like improve your skills, technical skills, and that will allow you to kind of pocket that, and then you can navigate wherever you want to go. And at the same time, the knowledge or this experience that you built, it's something that you can relay and spread out to the future generation, which I believe is very, very inspiring. And it's one of my life goals or one of my purpose why I'm here in this industry as well. So, and I also believe that the more you share about the knowledge or experience that you have, including mistakes, the more you actually learn yourselves and asking, daring to ask questions is also a good thing for as a teacher, as a learner. So it's a win-win for both.
Yeah. Audrey, can you tell us about the recent post you posted maybe a few months ago? That you are accepted to, what is it called, about inaugural Obama Foundation Leadership Program or Leaders Program?
So I think like there's always like random exciting things. And so because I've been so immersed in the code school, I haven't really had a chance to like really bathe in this one. But since the students have graduated, I'm really excited that, you know, the Obama Foundation Leaders Program is really about to rev up. So it's at a good space because we're having convening soon. But this process has been going on probably for over a year. And it is an exciting program. The Obama Foundation and the President and Mrs. Obama have created this leaders program that's been global for some time. And this year is the first time that they've decided to do it in their home country. And so I'm so excited to be a part of the inaugural class. And so in my class, there are 99 other dynamic individuals. We were all hand selected by the Obama Foundation and President Obama himself to be a part of this cohort. And it is one of the most dynamic and fascinating blends of technologists and people that are involved in social and human rights, people that are involved in climate control. There's folks that are in law enforcement. And it is just this beautiful mashup of so many diverse minds. And we meet once a week and we share what it is to be sensitive as far as our democratic ways, talk about learning and listening to each other. And this program has really taught me how to be a more compassionate and patient leader. I have access to a career coach, which is really dynamic in this point in my career, as things are starting to transition and move very quickly. But I think even though getting to meet the president and go through the convening and getting to meet all these people, really great. For me, the best part of the program thus far has really been the relationships that I've been building with the other community and cohort members. Once again, like to the point I was making about how like technology pulls us all together, there are 100 leaders in the program from all over the U.S. that I otherwise would not have met had it not been from this program. And the connections and the bonds that we're all creating are wonderful. And it's an immense opportunity because as soon as the U.S. leaders were announced, leaders from all over the world started reaching out. It's like, welcome to the club. So my network has become really deep and really wide. And it's not that, you know, you're meeting tons of famous celebrities. I find that, you know, it's more important to meet and make genuine connections with people like us that are just trying to make change in this world. And those are the connections that I love. Those are the people that I love to get to know. Those are the people that encouraged my curiosity because we get into wonderful conversations about what it is to be in the spaces and places that we're in. One of the things that I really love about the call is that everyone is acknowledged for the space and the time that they're in. And this was it's really significant because one of the action partners that we work with, when they get on the call, they always acknowledge the native lands that we reside on, to the indigenous people that were in this country, in this space, before we came here. But what they also do is they acknowledge that the free labor that Africans contributed to building this country. And the reason why that's significant to me is because it is someone acknowledging the space and the time and the brutality that was imposed upon my ancestors that led to building this country. And although I love the United States of America, we do have our challenges, but being acknowledged, being understood in those challenges makes me feel proud to be an American.
That's great.
Truly, it's amazing that you, the Code Crew, Code School, and you yourself, Audrey, are really involved in this program that we talked about, and not just this program, but also to the community that you have there in Tennessee. So you're leading. So I wish there's that. Now leads me to a question. Do you know if there's something similar program that yours in Europe? Like, do you know if you collaborate with European organizations as well? I know that you did mention Black Girls Who Code also, but do you have any collaboration with European groups?
So actually, in the Code Crew's infancy, we actually built our K through 12 model off some UK models that we had studied. So actually, some European models actually gave birth to a lot of the theory and logic behind our education process. But there's lots of organization. One sticks out in particular. In Britain, there's an organization called Moms in Tech.
Okay.
And right. They do something very similar to what we do. But for moms that want to transition their careers and get involved into tech. So through programs like this, through meeting people, it does become easier to collaborate. And sometimes when I'm on panels, people will bring up like, you know, are you the only one? And there's no competition in the space. There's such a deficit in women and people in color and technology we can't teach them all. So we have to collaborate. But there's organizations that are here that we partner with, one in particular, BeamPath, that's located in Mississippi. We partner with them because there are just so many people to teach. The well is so full of people that we have to pull out and introduce to technology. And it's not that we're trying to make them all software engineers. We are trying to expose everyone and create equity for technology. So whether that's being an advocate for internet or like building infrastructure for untapped areas to receive internet in rural communities, we're doing that work. Or it's getting tech education in a school, or figuring out how to partner and get teachers educated. That's the work that we do. It's so large, and like I said, it's so vast, that the amount of work that needs to be done, but we thrive on partnerships. I love partnerships because it not only, you know, brings the community closer, it puts us on one common goal that everybody knows, everybody sees, everybody understands. You don't have to explain it to everybody. We're all in this fight together. There's another organization that comes to mind, Tech Bridge Girls. They are doing work with young women to bridge the digital divide. There's so many Google chapters and Black Girls Code chapters, and there's a Boys Who Code chapter in Canada. So there are so many of us trying to do this work, but guess what? There's so many children and students and youth that we still have untapped. So we still have lots of work to do.
Yes, I do agree with you with that. I do really agree that we have the same common goal and mission in like reaching out and inspiring these students and everyone around the world. And I know here in Sweden, in Europe, we're still that challenges. And even though I know there are some great women in tech communities here, I think the most, I mean, in my personal opinion, the most impactful ones are the ones that really do the action in terms of like this leaders, community leaders really reaching out and helping out the students, just like what you do in your in Code Crews, Code School, because that's where you make a lot of impact to students or learners. So I'm a big fan of the purpose and vision you have on this one, and I hope I can make an influence here in Europe to kind of like spread it out and maybe make a difference in my own ways, in my channels as well.
Yeah, you can do it, yes. Jonah.
Yeah, because my communities right now is mostly, I kind of miss teaching programming to kids. I mean, I did it on the side of my job as a developer and consultant. But that experience led me to be standing on stage and get rid of my fear of public speaking. And now me training adults or developers like me to learn. So with the hope also that I get opportunities like me going into schools and tell them, hey, this is what I do. I love what I do. And I don't have to force what I do to them, but at least I can inspire and share what are the fun things that we can do in tech and improve their careers. So, yeah, I'm very passionate about this topic also, Audrey. So we can talk all hours about this topic. But I think Katie has a question for you, and then I ask one more question, and then we can wrap up. Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, I just want to ask about maybe the process for aspiring students, let's say in your area, who are listening to this podcast. Do you have any requirements to join your school? And also just an advice for future or aspiring students.
So the intake process, And I use this analogy because we do intake a large number of students into the code school. But just like we all went to kindergarten and they gave us crayons, but only a few artists emerged. Software engineering is very similar. We start out at the beginning of the cohort, this particular cohort, we started out with 42 students. And so over the course of month after month, some of the students find that, you know, software engineering is not for them, or they don't have the time because of competing priorities to dedicate to learning this, because it is a very intense and engaging program. But the outcome is invaluable. So we go around the community recruiting with some of our partners, the Collective Blueprints, one of them, A Families Matter is another one. But we partner with these organizations to find those students that are interested in computer science. And we outfit them with a laptop that they get to keep upon graduating the program. And they go through the program from module to module. And like I said, sometimes they find that they're not interested or they don't want to continue. But those that finish the program have become very successful. And so we do an explore software development during the orientation phase of the project, where we teach students how to build a web page in a day. And they get to see what a day in the life of a code school student is like. And that's open to anyone, regardless if you want to go through the program or not. Last year, there was a woman, she was 77 years old. We taught her how to create a web page in a day. And so anybody can come to our Explore Software Development courses to learn about what it is that we do. And like I said, to get what it is to be a day in the life of a code school student. And so for advice and staying in the program, like I say, you have to stay curious. You have to stay hungry. You have to have a desire to learn and to trust the process and know that the work that you're doing is not just learning software engineering, it's absolutely changing your life. I know for me, finding software engineering, finding computer science was life-changing for me, most certainly financially life-changing for me. And so those students, we keep them encouraged. We provide mental health resources. If they need someone to talk to, we have counselors and therapists that are on staff with our partners to be able to work with them. We have mentors that are able to help guide them through the tough times and having hard conversations. We're taking them to companies that they get to tour IT shops and see what it's like to be a software engineer. And so it really becomes this close bond of students, and they become like family. They study together. They hang out on the weekends together. And not all students are engaged in hanging out on the weekend, but they have. It's cute to see them all going off to lunch together because they've bonded so much over time and over projects that they've done together. But it is really just a close community of this technical pipeline that we have. And for individuals that are applying, advice I would give to them is that, you know, just trust the process. Trust that the curriculum that we've laid out is going to lead you into a very lucrative tech career. And you're going to be an asset to your community. It's going to give you a competitive skill in the workforce. And so we're excited to have all sorts of new faces in our cohort.
Right. Yes. That's thank you so much for sharing about your advice to the students, Audrey. And moving forward to that, how does students who are interested to get involved with your code school and even mentors can reach out to you and your organization to find out more and get involved?
So anybody that's interested in taking classes from us, we do in-person training, which we love to focus on because we feel like students learn better in a classroom environment in this type of industry. But we're not opposed to students that want to join us from anywhere. We're looking into how do we expand and what our expansion model looks like. So those folks that are interested in taking classes from us can actually go to our website, which is code-crew.org. Anybody that's interested in being a mentor, we do virtual mentorship in the form of career talks. I'm going to ping you both to do a career talk with a new cohort. Yes. You can reach out to me directly at Audrey at code-crew.org. Our new cohort starts January 2024. And so we like to bring in career speakers to do like a 45-minute session. Yeah. And just
count me in, or Shetty maybe. Yeah, Shetty doesn't often do tech, like speaking, but I can mentor her or teach her, guide her, because we ourselves are going to do on a mentorship soon. So in a few weeks, I will start teaching or sharing knowledge about cloud computing or development with Microsoft Azure to Shetty, which something that she wants to develop herself and learn more. So yeah, but feel free to count me and Shetty in if you need your students be inspired of what I do and what Shetty do. Yeah. What do you think, Shetty?
Yeah, that would be good. I'll be interested to do that.
Yes. You're on the link.
All right. You want to share your LinkedIn as well if you want to?
Yeah. Yes. I think I make it really easy to find me. And on most social sites, if you type in Audrey P. Willis, it should come up. But I am on LinkedIn. And, you know, you can do the slash and it's Audrey P. Willis on the LinkedIn site.
Yeah,
right. Thanks. Yes.
I'm always happy to connect.
Yeah. Yes. That's great. Yeah, the more I always believe that connecting, you reach out, you connect, ask question, and that's a good way to get started in the collaboration and finding possibilities and opportunities. So I am very happy that we got connected, Audrey. And one last question now before we let you go. How did you find us, by the way? Because I know that we didn't know each other until you kind of like reach out to our CFP or call for speakers, and then you found us. So I'm curious to know how you got connected to us.
So it was through the Sessionize site.
Okay, great.
I always get excited when I see things that revolve around women in tech. And so I was reading like through the profiles, and I was listening to like some of your previous podcasts. And so I was like, yeah, they sound like a fun group to talk to. So that's how I found you all. But I think that's, once again, the beauty of technology. Like, without podcasts, without the opportunities to share stories or hear other people's stories, how do we even know we're on the right track? And so through connections on LinkedIn, through opportunities with like hearing people's things on podcasts or books that they've written, we're able to connect stories and realize that, you know, our battles aren't really as big as we think they are. We're not really alone in the fight. There are other people that are, you know, in this tech fight with us. So it's always reassuring and comforting to know that there are other women and people of color that are out there that are fighting for the same thing.
Yes, that's really awesome. And thank you.
Yeah.
And it's just the beginning of the journey, the connection that we build with you and others. When this podcast is released, that's a very, like, it's a seed that we planted to grow. I'm a gardener, so I always like, I use the philosophy of and wisdom from my gardening and growing. Yeah, so anything else, Shetty, do you want to ask? It's our chance to learn more.
Yeah. I'm glad that you found us and we got connected. Any final word or anything you want to add before we finalize?
No, not that I can think of. I'm just really excited for the opportunity. And like I said, we're recruiting for our next cohort. We're always looking for more partnerships, more organizations that want to be a part of what this change is. We work a lot with banks that fund us, like Bank of America, Regions Bank, in funding this work that we do. We have partners with the NBA Foundation. So the more support we have, the more people we can teach. And we're just glad for the partnerships and the folks that have been supporting us thus far.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing about that. I did actually started following you on LinkedIn and Instagram, and I'm going to follow you in all your channels. But to those listeners that who wants to find out more about Code Crew, Code School, and Audrey, feel free to reach out to her, especially in opportunities to support and help the organization. So it, as you heard from the past hour in this talk, we do see the great impact it has on her or the community. So thank you so much, first of all, Audrey, for your time. It is early in the morning at night for you and from the States, and you really took the effort to speak and share this with us, so we appreciate it. And also to Shetty for recording this with us in this episode. All right, it's time to say goodbye.
thank you, Jenna.
Yes, thank you so much, Audrey. And to those that are listening to us, thank you for listening, for your time spending with us. And if you have a story to share, an inspiration to share about the job or what you do, feel free to reach out to me in Charity or submit a session for interest in our call for speakers on Sessionize, and follow us on our channels like LinkedIn. We are in podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other channels. So thank you so much, everyone, and have a great rest of the day or evening whenever you're reaching or listening to us. Bye.